I mentioned to you, well, over the course of the summer, I've introduced to you both Matt and Casey, and I mentioned to you last week that over the next course of 6 weeks or so, Matt and Casey are both going to be bringing a message to you a couple of times. And so they're both working their way towards ordination, and so it is good for us to hear from them. And so today we're going to hear from Matt. Next week I will bring the message, and then the week after Casey will, and they'll each bring the message a couple of more times in the month after that. And so I'm going to pray for Matt, and then I want to invite you to make him welcome, and we're going to turn it over to Matt this morning to bring us the word. Let's pray. Thank you again, Father, for how you work in our lives. Thank you for the call that you have put on Matt and Casey and others before them into the ministry. Bless Matt this morning as he brings to us your word. Bless the journey that he and Casey are both on. Draw them near. Use them powerfully, mightily, for the glory of God. And so thank you this morning for Matt, and thank you for the word that you've given him. We just commit this to you and ask, Holy Spirit of God, continue to have your way in our services this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you welcome Matt this morning, friends?
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Praise God. I first want to thank Pastor Jim, congregation, the prayers that have gone out for us. I'm just so grateful for this congregation and just your everlasting compassion and love in the community, and just blessed to be part of it. So I title my message today, Removing the Veil to Rest. Okay, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it, Serna? Jim probably saw that and goes, Matt, where are you going here? You know, and I thought too, when I was first found out I was doing Labor Day weekend, and I thought, okay, well, Labor Day weekend, I thought, what kind of message could I bring? And, well, Labor Day weekend, we labor. Okay, we labor in our work and we labor in everything. But where do we find our rest? And that's really where I want to go. But getting through that rest, I want to talk about the veil. So, Marty, turn up. Anyway, so please stick with me. So I'm going to start in Matthew 11, 25, 30 from the New Living Translation. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it has pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So back to 25. Some words here. Wise, clever, and childlike. What is Jesus talking to? Who is he talking to? Is he talking to you? Is he talking to me? Okay. From the NLT Study Bible, the wise were the religious leaders who had rejected him, and the childlike were the followers trusting faith. Do we seek the truth with childlike, trusting faith? When you're in God's word, you're praying, you're talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, are you childlike or are you wise and clever like the Pharisees? Do we listen with our ears and our hearts to the living word of God? Do we listen? Do we listen? Do we listen to the living word of God? I want to read a quote to you from Charles Spurgeon. And I'm still stuck on what Pastor Salek said to Jim in that conversation. Interesting enough, here's a sermon from 1859 by Spurgeon. And how relevant it is today. The one great lesson of the gospel is to teach us to be meek, to put away our high and angry spirits, and to make us lowly at heart. While we hold our heads up with pride or exalt ourselves with self-confidence, we must be meek and lowly in heart. Otherwise, we are totally unfit to be taught by Christ. Empty vessels may be filled, but vessels that are full already can receive no more. The man who knows his own emptiness can receive abundance of knowledge and wisdom and grace from Christ. Amen. Have you been there? Have you been in that emptiness of life? I have. And I'll share with you in a little bit where I was. But he who glories in himself is not in a fit condition to receive anything from God. Charles Spurgeon quoted, 1859. Whew. Kind of getting back to that not playing church anymore thing. So let's go to verse 27. You know, and this one I hope really sinks in here, okay? Many of you have read this. I have read it. But when I started thinking about the message today and the rest and everything else, this just blew me up, okay? Verse 27, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So what is going on here? Kind of back and forth. So I've read that many times before, and I've gone to down to the weary and come to me and give you rest, right? I've done that. But if we break this down, point one, three authority statements by Jesus here. Okay, this is authoritative. One, God entrusted him to everything. And Jesus knows God's heart, so there's unity in their relationship, right? Two, God knows the Son, okay? In the Old Testament, to know someone meant more than head knowledge, okay? It was an intimate relationship. So this is what Jesus is talking about here. The Pharisees hated Jesus for this, okay? They hated Jesus for the unity of the relationship of God and the Father and God the Son. The Pharisees didn't, this was no good to them, okay? Again, Jesus' authority and intimate relationship, unity with the triune God, with the Trinity, right? And the final statement by Jesus, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What's that about? What is this? Okay. Key word, reveal. Okay. From this word, we get revelation. We just had, sung a song in the middle of there, is a revelation. Okay. Have you had a revelation that Jesus chose to reveal himself to you? And do you have that intimate relationship with him that he has with his Father? If we think a little bit about this now, in our families, our parents, our kids, our grandkids, some of us have grandkids. Yes, I'm old enough to have grandkids. But I think about this intimate relationship we have with our family members, our mom, our dad, our siblings, or such. You know, it's that intimate relationship, that bond. That's what Christ provides for us. We have direct access to God through Christ, right? John 16:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. How many times have you seen, I believe in God? You have conversations with people. I believe in God. Yes, yes, good. Okay. It's that intimate relationship we have through Christ with God. John 10:14-15, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Okay, back again. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Praise God. So again, back to 28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Okay? How many of you have quoted that to friends and family members that have been kind of struggling with something? Guilty. Okay? I don't know if that's guilt, but that's an easy one to remember. It's an easy one to quote. And we'll just say that when somebody's struggling with something. Okay? But we need to understand, going back to 27, that relationship, that intimate relationship with the Lord. And when you have that, this speaks volumes. Okay? So the three words here. Come to me. Come to me. Pretty simple. Where do we see most people going? Where have I gone to make that bad decision or whatever? You know, where do I go for my rest? Okay? Question for you. Where do you go for your rest? Jesus is saying, come to him. Come to him. Enjoy this peace and this rest. In many of conversations I've had with believers and non-believers, employees, the conversation is about how they are trying to find rest and do it themselves. Or they're at the crossroads with their faith. Or simply two words I've heard so often, but wait. But wait. Okay? My previous job, I actually started a Bible study at work, and there was a few of us there, and one gal was struggling with something, and she just kept going on and on about certain things in life and certain this. And I would just try to stop, and she would always say, but wait. But wait. And I would say, but wait. Where are you at with Jesus? And boy, you know, that conversation either went, we were done, or let me hear more about this, you know? So my question to you is, where do you go for your rest? Do you come to Jesus? It's when we repent and we come to Jesus in childlike faith and are born again, which is from above, we can find redemption and rest for our souls. That is so peaceful. So I'm going to start to get a little personal with you here. This winter, okay, it was a cold winter, right? For us true Minnesotans, we've been here all our life. Some have been here all his life. This January pushed me to my neck. I'm like, okay, this Florida thing. Anyway, I was working that day. I think it was a Monday. And you know, I had a pretty easy day at work, but it was cold out, and all I could think about was going home and spending time with the Lord. That's it. Certainly, if my daughter had called about come over and see the kids, I would have, but the Lord was just calling me, and it was just like, there was just this peace. I got home, you know, it's that 40 below winter stuff, and, you know, and I was just sitting there in God's word, and I was in prayer, and I was just, it was just beautiful. That rest was just, ooh. And I've explained that to some of my friends and family members and believers, and they go look at me and go, oh, that's neat. No. You understand this. So anyway, you know, my heart grieves. My heart is just really heavy late with a lot of just what I talked about, just listening to family members, my employees, and oof, it's just heavy. And I'm going to share one that I had actually yesterday, and it was tough. It was really tough. It's an employee, young gal, somewhere around 30, married, really struggling with her work. You could definitely tell there was something going on in her life personally. And so I sat down with her. I said, I'm not going to say her name, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to be real with you here. I'm struggling because they know that my employees and my business where I work, they know where I'm doing. I'm really struggling because I am your boss. I have to run a business here, okay? But honestly, I really care for you and your family. I see you struggling so much. Within seconds, she broke down in tears. So I just started having a conversation about the Lord. Had a conversation about church. Had a conversation about can we adjust her schedule to make it easier on her. But she just broke down. And in the end result of this, Casey brought it up in corporate going to church. She said to me, I know you go to church and I know you're working on your ordination. She said, I miss going to church. And I thought, yes, you need the Lord, and you need to be in communion in that corporate worship, okay? But my heart was just heavy for her. So getting back to some scripture here, John 14:27. We all know this story. Jesus is going on, and they can't understand it. And he tells them he's going to send the Comforter, right? This is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. Key word, some scripture here. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And that peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Okay? So don't be troubled or afraid. Again, my experience I had last January. I just had that same experience last Saturday when we were here for Vicky's funeral. The love that she had for the Lord. We know where she's at. I think she probably felt that rest because she's with the Lord. And that was a day where, actually that Friday before that, I had a really rough day at work. About 4:30 in the afternoon, I kind of collapsed. I ended up burning my hand real bad. And then came to the training that morning for Saturday and then to the funeral. By the end of the day, I was just giving praise to the Lord. I found that rest. So moving on to the title of the message, removing the veil to rest. In two of John Wesley's quadrilateral points, he states Scripture is the preeminent, indeed, the primary source for religious truth. He also said, in quote, the testimony of the Spirit is an inward impression on the soul, whereby the Spirit of God directly witnesses to my spirit that I am a child of God, that Jesus Christ hath loved me and give himself for me, and all my sins are blotted out, and even I am reconciled to God, end quote. This is John Wesley. Now, I want to give you a little history on his brother, Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley was an unusually devout young man while a student at Oxford University. He established a holy club in which he and fellow students disciplined themselves for godliness. He also went to the New American Colony of Georgia to conduct mission work, but he was not converted himself. Then while Wesley lay sick in a bed, a Moravian believer named William Holland visited him and brought him Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. After Holland departed, Wesley meditated on the phrase from Galatians 2:20, which I'll read to you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I read that. I was sharing this with my brothers on the Sunday group. I read that 6 months ago, and that just pierced my heart. I was reading that, and me. So I think about what happened to Charles Wesley, Oxford graduate, Holy Club, and he was not converted. We go to church. We sing praise to him. We give glory to him. Are we converted? Question for you. Again, back to Pastor Salek no longer playing church. I just find that so powerful. So now, on to the title of today's message. So now, the title is Removing the Veil to Rest, okay? Well, the veil has been removed, hasn't it? Do you understand where that comes from? Okay? Matthew 27, 50 through 52. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and the tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many. So the torn has been rent. It's been torn, right? I have a question for you. What inner veil in your hearts have you not torn open to the Lord? It's a personal question for you. Okay? And this is where I want to get into where we find that rest. And I'm going to get a little personal with you again. Okay? I stood right here. Not quite 6 years ago, singing in the Teen Challenge Choir. Confused, full of shame, full of guilt, full of pity, everything. I could not look at the congregation. So probably don't remember me standing there, but I had to look up because I would just absolutely lose it because I was full of shame and guilt, resentments, remorse, everything. We had an activity, I don't know if you call it an activity, a teen challenge. And the idea, there was a wooden cross. If some of you have been in the sanctuary, I know Jim has, I don't know if that wooden cross is still there. But the idea was to write down things you are struggling with on a piece of paper and go nail it to the cross. It was voluntary. You didn't have to do it. Sam wasn't telling us to do it, but we could do it. So I sat there, and I'm dealing with all the shame and guilt while I'm in there. So much of it, just heavy. At times during morning worship, I was just a wreck. So I did this. I brought it up to the altar. I nailed it on the cross, went down on the ground, and prayed. tears of just pain, guilt, and everything coming out. When I came out of it, I looked up, and my hand was on the cross. I gave it to him, and he took it. Praise the Lord. He took it. So again, that veil being removed. So the question for you, what guilt, what shame, what resentments, what worry, what fear, what grief are you holding on to that you're not allowing him to take? We sung it earlier. There was some of this same type of verbiage. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:12, 18. Everything I just said, we can find in the Word of God. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 3:12, 18. Okay, there it is. Since this new way gives us confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his head so that the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. Woo! Owie, owie. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with the veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise Lord. Praise God. My brother Wayne sends me a text this morning, and he's thinking about me, and I'm like, oh, Wayne. I said, that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about today. So, and we can also go to Hebrews 10, 19, and 12 as well. Very clear. Very clear. Okay? So, back to John Wesley. The experience of Scripture and the revelation of Christ in your life, has it changed you? Okay? I'm getting close to the end, so I'm doing okay, all right? At Henriette, they just said, no, just keep talking. Anyway, I want to read another sermon to you. This one is from George Whitefield. Anybody know who he was? Pastor does. He was a friend of John and Charles. He was part of the Holy Club. This sermon was from 17, Fort, somewhere in the middle of 1700s. George says, nothing is more generally known than our duties which belong to Christianity, yet how amazing it is, nothing is less practiced. There is much of it in the name and show, but little of it in the heart and conversations. Indeed, going to church and to the sacrament, and if we're being called after the name of Christ and being baptized in that name, if that will make us Christians. I believe all of us would have a claim thereof too, but if it consists in the heart, that there must be an inward principle wrought in us by faith, that there must be a change of the whole nature, a putting off the old man with his deeds and turning from sin unto God, and cleaving only into the Son of Righteousness, and that there must be a new birth. We experience the pains thereof, and that you must feel yourselves weary and heavy laden with your sins before you will seek deliverance from them. Yes, I was in that shame and guilt of my addiction years. Heavy burdens. I find it so interesting. Again, Pastor Salek, I'm not playing church. 1700s, Spurgeon, 1800s. Tozier spoke heavy of this, early 1900s. Heavy. So we just want to leave you with some questions. What burdens are you carrying today? What veil have you ripped off your heart to give it to the Lord? Are you carrying the burdens of the world, or are you carrying the burdens of the Lord? If you're carrying the burdens of the Lord, you will find that peace and that rest for your soul that you have never seen before and experienced. Experience, once again, what John Wesley talks about. That experience. Anyway, so that is my message today. I just was thinking about Labor Day weekend and just that rest. Where do we find that rest? And listening to so many people I've worked with at work, my previous job, like I said, we had a Bible study, and this young gal struggled some family stuff in life. And I would give her scripture to quote, I would give her scripture to think about. And she would just say, "Yeah, thanks, Matthew." She called me Matthew James, but I don't know why. But anyway, I just see so much searching going on out there. But when you surrender your life to Christ and let him take it, that peace and that joy that Jesus talks about is irreplaceable. So he is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords. He is our Redeemer. And we live because he lives. Right? So I want to ask you one final question before we go to this worship song. When you lift your hands in praise and you worship him in spirit and truth, are you asking him to hold you and take away your burdens in a childlike faith? Or are you clenching your fists and saying, "No, Lord, I can still do this on my own"? Tell you what, it ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. So I just want to finish with this song. I was on my way to work or somewhere, and some of you have probably heard of this artist. The song was playing, and I think it's entitled "Here I Am" or something. Anyway, the song was just exactly what the message was. I'm like, okay, I gotta get this down. So you're going to see the words, I believe, Tim, right? And take it to heart, because the words are pretty much what I just got done talking about. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. And we thank you for this time today, Lord, and this corporate worship. To worship you, to give you praise, to give you thanks. You are worthy. You died for us on that cross. But you were raised. And we live because you live, Lord. Father, just pray that we just continue to come to you with our burdens that are heavy. And take them from us, O Lord. I praise you. And give you all thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.